without common definitions. We dissolve in endless squabbles, provoked by agents power places among us. And saying this is not to be angry about it. What else could they do? It's only logical. Put yourself in their shoes. We just have to be aware of it. Aware how essential it is that we remain hawk-eyed locked on our story, on our principles and vision, and help each other to reinforce it. Moreover, this kind of disruption must be considered in advance of action, factored into our planning. I don't think enough of us have considered this tactic of powers from a strategic perspective. We have to understand how power thinks, that for them it's all about winning, all about winning. It is zero sum for them. For them, there is no win-win. Their strength requires that we be weakened. They see maintaining their reign as a military campaign, i.e. how to convert our perceived strengths into weaknesses. And our number one strength, because it carries us through the tough times, the hard days, is our heart. We have good hearts. So when we embark on a plan, they give us reasons to wring our hands. Utah Phillips gives an example of this when he points out how easily efforts with identified leadership get derailed by the simple means of arresting the chiefs, quote unquote, after which all that good energy gets plowed into defense committees. This was his argument for having no identified leadership. But the tactic goes beyond this to power exploiting our helpfulness. For example, I recall reading a while back a woman's story again in Slingshot, it so happens, about how an annual nonviolence camp was being repeatedly sabotaged by folks who were effectively sapping this woman's strength, as she was wasting her time trying to figure out how to give them empathy training. Folks who could have been paid to do what they're doing. You see what I mean? We need tools for dealing with this kind of thing. Otherwise, it'll keep being effective. It's important that we figure this out because as insidious and dispiriting as this tactic is, the mass slaughters of our brothers and sisters should tell us that they have much less room to maneuver than we. For were we to be slaughtered en masse, the state would face a broadly embraced delegitimization. And as I've just said, this isn't about blame or witch hunts or loyalty tests. It's about developing values and practices that are immune to agent action. We need a structure, an environmental intervention, to use the language of public health, that would keep us on track even as they try to divert us. There's a question that I woke up with after a difficult night of bombardment. If we become hard, are they winning? Because there is a they. We have to accept that if we want our authentic lives, our unburdened earth back. So if we become hard, are they winning? Is it an inescapable trap? We have to think about that. We being slaughtered and the slaughterers are one. It's true. But if we want to live, we fight them. So we must be certain about this. There is an us and them because they will place many agents among us who will benignly tell us just the opposite. And suggests that this has relevance for our actions. And again, no anger, no accusations, no witch hunts, just staying lock-eyed, just staying hawk-eyed locked on the goal, on the future we want. We have to understand that when they shoot down South African miners, they're killing us. When they pay for slaughter in Sudan and Syria or Congo, they're killing us. We have to see this as urgent. When Bangladeshis burn in factories, that's us. Everywhere we're smothered under power's boot, that's us. There is an us, and we're being slaughtered. But the them is not the ones who do the slaughtering, those whose hands are literally stained with our blood. No, the them is them who gives the orders. them who pays the bills, the them who stays hidden. We will likely never see them. But that them is causing incalculable damage and hardship and must be stopped. On that, our minds must be unwaveringly locked. This is where we've been confused. Like a cornered animal reacting to the boot, snarling at the stick before she gets centered and focuses on the hand that's wielding it. And I have to add that when I read in this same current slingshot issue of a progressive's home struck by lightning, now that I know their MO is to weed out the disobedient, now that I know they have their minions wheedling into every nook and cranny of our resistance and reporting it, naming names, just like in the old days, only more secret. When powerful, good-hearted folks under 80 die of strokes or heart attacks or thunderstruck or being pushed out drunk from balconies or needles stuck, heart pump with heroin, then I'm like the godfather in that room full of dons saying, I'm gonna blame some of these would-be gods today. So let's decide what we look like as Hawkeyes.